Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited about sharing God's word with you today. As you know, we are on the precipice of another Easter. And, you know, we talk about Easter, and everybody knows about Easter. When we think about Easter, we think about the bunny rabbit, and, you know, everything is so beautiful, and new life is being happening, and the flowers are budding, and everything is just so wonderful. Well, I tell you what, all of that is really symbolic of the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I want to share with you this morning on a subject entitled The Cure. And the cure, it means that there is a cure for the sin of mankind. And the Easter is not about, you know, the bunny rabbits and the new dress and you know, oh, that's pretty and it's beautiful, but Easter, as we call it, really, it comes from a word it's called Pascha, which has to do with a pagan holiday. And so, as we worship Easter today, it's not as it was worshipped in biblical days. But really, what we're talking about when we say Easter, we're actually referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the cure for the sin of mankind. So Easter is all about Jesus. It's all about what he has done for us, and in turn, what we are supposed to do for one another. It has to do with us serving. Jesus came as a servant. The Romans did not accept Jesus because the Romans were really, they were really action-oriented individuals. As you might know, that Rome almost ruled the whole world at one time, and so they were some very fierce people to deal with. So when Jesus Christ came as a servant, they could not receive him because they believed that if he was truly the Son of God, then he would really install his kingdom and whip things into order. But he didn't come as a king. Now he will come as a king when he comes back the next time. Of course, he's coming for the rapture of the church. But the Bible lets us know that there will be a 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, after which he will come back and he will set up his kingdom here on earth. But let's back up to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, in the third chapter, where we see that the Bible says, it talks about the serpent being subtle, or he was a very cunning deceiver. And the Bible says that he said to Eve, "Hath God not said that you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" Well, God had given Adam a commandment. And he told Adam, he said, "Don't eat of this tree," and this tree that represented the knowledge of good and of evil. You'll read there in the third chapter where God said, you know, "Don't eat of this tree," he said, "but you can eat of every other tree." And so, consequently, Adam did not obey God. As a matter of fact, he followed Eve's suit. Now, a lot of people say, "Oh, man, Eve really messed up." Well, she did, but you know what? God didn't hold her responsible. He held the man responsible because he had given a commandment to the man. But what we see here, you know, and the reason I entitled this message "The Cure," because what I'm going to share with you is the cure for the greatest tragedy that took place in the garden. The tragedy that took place in the garden was that Adam obeyed Eve instead of obeying God. And when that happened, Adam actually died. He died, but he did not die a physical death. See, so what we're talking about is the cure for a spiritual problem. Many people today, they, you know, if you ask them, "Are you born again? Do you know Jesus?" Well, they come back with, "Well, you know, I'm a good person," or, "Well, my wife goes to church," or, "Well, I'm a deacon," you know, and they skirt around the real issue of their spiritual condition. When Adam sinned, he catapulted the whole human race into a spiritual condition that needed and necessitated a cure. And so when the Bible says that he died, you say, "Well, did he really die?" Because we continue to read about him in the Bible and he's not dead. But my friend, he did die. He died spiritually. And the Hebrew word for die, it means in dying, you shall die. In other words, he died twice. He died, first of all, from the relationship that he had with God in the garden, when he walked with God in the cool of the day. And the Bible says that they communicated with one another. But when he sinned against God, he died spiritually. Because as you read there, you will see that the Bible says, and his eyes were open. Okay? But, well, this was not his physical eyes, because his physical eyes were already open. The eyes that they were speaking of was the eyes of his spirit, the eyes of his soul. They were open. And then the Bible says that he knew right from wrong. And of course, the Bible also says that God came and said, Adam, where are you? And he had run, and he hid himself. And God finally caught up with him and said, well, you know, what are you doing? He said, well, I hid myself because I was naked. And God said, well, who told you that you were naked? See, so now he's responding from a lower nature. At first he was responding from his spiritual nature, a higher nature, a higher level. But when he died, he fell. And that's, in theology, they call that the fall of mankind. But you know, I always say, he didn't fall. It was a big leap that he took. He voluntarily disobeyed God. So, when you fall, you slip and fall. But he didn't slip and fall. It was a voluntary act of disobedience. So, what is the cure for that? Is it religion? Is it being a great philanthropist? Is it doing good deeds? What is the cure for this spiritual condition that Adam has thrust the entire human race into? Because see, God held Adam accountable. Whatever Adam did had a direct reflection on the rest of mankind and everybody that would come from the loins of Adam. And so that's why I say Jesus is the cure. And he is. He's the cure for the sin of rejecting the word of God. And if anybody rejects God's word, then God rejects them. If anybody rejects the Son of God, then they cannot be a part of the family of God. But God loves us. And so that's why God sent Jesus to die on the cross. He died on the cross to become the cure for a spiritual condition. Now, we're used to reading these scriptures in the Bible, you know, at Easter time, so I don't want to disappoint you. So we're going to read these scriptures a little bit, some of them that has to do with the events that took place during the death and then the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we are really celebrating a wonderful event that has taken place in the history of mankind. And that is the fact that a man named Jesus was crucified, and they buried him, and he actually rose from the dead. That is a monumental event that occurred because of the love of God. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Easter is all about what God did for us. Easter is all about Jesus Christ saying to his Father God in the book of Hebrews, he said, Father, prepare me a body, and I will go down, and I will suffer. I will become the cure for the spiritual condition that mankind is in. You see, my friends, it took pure blood in order to redeem mankind from the sin that we were in based on Adam's disobeying God. Adam could not offer his own blood, because his blood was defiled. Therefore, it took a blood that was undefiled, a pure blood, a blood that had never been touched by sin. You know whose blood that was? It was Jesus. You're right, the Son of God. You see, Jesus did not come into this world by natural human birth. In other words, he did not come as a result of the intercourse between man and woman. As you remember in the Bible says Joseph found Mary that she was with child. The Bible says that she was with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was surprised because he knew he had not had intimate relationship with her. And so it was important that God had an angel to tell Joseph, Joseph, don't put Mary away. Because Joseph was getting ready to say, you got to go, girl. But God said, no, don't do that. He says, because that which is done in her, the child that she's carrying, that is the Son of God, and then it's by the Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, that overshadowed Mary, and she was with child of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, the sin nature bypassed Jesus Christ, because he did not come into this world as a result of intercourse between Joseph and Mary, but more than anything, as a result of the Holy Spirit supernaturally overshadowing Mary and caused her to be get pregnant with the seed of Jesus. So I want to read the scriptures to you. In Matthew in chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that they came to the tomb." Y'all remember that. It says in verse 2, it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men," like statues. "But the angel answered and said unto the women, Do not be afraid, for I know who you seek. Jesus was crucified." You see, my friends, he came not for himself. He didn't have to die for himself. He came to serve you and I. He died on the cross. And this angel said, "I know who you're seeking. You're seeking Jesus, but he's crucified." And then it says in verse 6, "And he is not here, for he is risen as he said." And I'm so happy to tell you today that Jesus Christ has risen just like he said. If you go to the tomb in Jerusalem, you will discover that it is empty. But if you go to Mussolini's tomb, if you go to anyone else's tomb that have purported themselves to be God or the Son of God, their tomb is definitely empty. But Jesus, their body is still in it. But Jesus has risen from the dead. His body is not in the tomb. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus Christ hath been raised up, and we have been raised up together with him, and now he is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Stephen in the book of Acts in chapter 6, as he was being stoned for testifying and for witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Stephen looked up and the heavens were open and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So my friend, Jesus is not in the tomb. Even as the angel told these ladies that he had risen from the dead. And indeed, it says in verse 7, "He is going before you into Galilee." It says, "There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Well, as you know, he showed himself to the disciples. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that Easter is about us celebrating Jesus Christ not being raised from the dead, but being resurrected from the dead. Now, there's a little play on those two words. You see, when you're raised from the dead, you're subject to dying again. The widow of Nain's son was raised from the dead, but he died again. The boy that was sitting in the window, as Paul was teaching towards midnight, he fell out of the window and he died. Paul went down and laid on him and brought life back to him, but he died again. But Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and raised Lazarus from the dead. But guess what? He died again. But my friends, Jesus told Mary, as they approached him when he was coming to the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus told Mary, he said, "Listen, Mary, you're crying, but you," he said, "well, you know, my friend Lazarus, my brother, is dead and your friend is dead." And Jesus said, "Don't worry, Mary, he's not dead." She said, "Listen, he's dead. He's stinking by now. It's been almost 3 days." Jesus said, "Mary, I am the resurrection." Amen. So I want you to know that Jesus is the cure for our spiritual condition. And if you're out there, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know him today.